Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, but real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
This right here.
There's a hole. 5, 10, 12. He's running over people. Oh, you Herschel Walker. My God almighty, he ran right through two men. Herschel ran right over two men. They had him dead away inside the 9. Herschel Walker went 16 yards. He drove right over Orange Church, just driving and running with those big 5.
Oh, I love that so much. What's going on, buddy?
All right.
Yeah, you have no idea what you just heard.
No, that sounds like footage of a helicopter being shot down over Vietnam. That's what I got on my end.
Oh, I'm getting hyped up today. I'm listening to old Larry Munson calls.
Oh, classic.
Probably don't know who Larry Munson is. Yeah. I know you're a big Larry Munson fan.
Oh, big, huge Munhead, man.
Oh, Larry Munson was the Georgia Bulldogs radio announcer for about 50 years, and that's who I grew up listening to. And back in the day, what you do if you're a real diehard Georgia fan, you'd turn the game on the TV and then put it on mute and turn the radio on and listen to Munson. And that call right there was from Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was a freshman. He was like 18 years old, just running over people, like literally just dump trucking people. And he goes, Herschel, just driving with those big thighs. My God, a freshman. I always loved that call. My God, a freshman. Because he was a phenom. Like, he was a true freshman. He came to Georgia like in 1980 and was just a men amongst boys and just dominated. And that call always stuck with Georgia fans when he was just like, my God, a freshman. Like, can you believe it? And he was, oh, man. Well, let me play one more real quick. Let's do another one real quick. All right, let's
sure, the one. Audio's great.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. This is when they won the Sugar Bowl. And he goes, look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
Here we go. As they curl over the ball, Georgia students and fans standing and roaring. 23, 22, 21, clock running, running.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's beauty right there. Anyway. All right, I'm okay now. I'll calm down.
Yeah, I'll just
get a little disc.
I'll just tell you right now, Dave. Not only do I not understand through audio quality, I don't understand through football terminology either. But this is great listening. This is just great listening.
Uh-huh. It is for me. It's 1 p.m. I'm already
drunk. Never mind
drunk.
The people tuning in to our show.
That's all right.
Who would like to hear a rebroadcast of some terrible audio of some other guy yelling about football? Who wouldn't? If anybody's still listening to this, we get on the episode now, we will not lose any listeners because they've already tuned out.
That's okay. I'm in a good mood today, buddy. If we were in person, you'd probably already be in a headlock, a loving headlock.
That's good. Yeah, you in a good mood is a threat to the people around you.
Uh-huh. That's how I show affection.
It is. It's it's dangerous.
What are you doing, buddy?
Well, let's talk about this good mood. You're in a good mood. Why? Yeah. Because the Dogs are playing in what's it called?
It's the national championship game.
End all be all.
I forgot what bowl. Forgot what bowl it is. I don't really care. But they're playing in Indianapolis today. As you're listening to this, this is going to be weird if they lost because this comes out the day after.
Yeah.
And hopefully my celebratory mood is relevant and makes sense. But, I'm just stoked. They're in Indianapolis tonight playing in the national title game, the college basically the Super Bowl of college football. It's the big game.
Okay.
And they're playing our dreaded, I got to be honest now. I don't know if rival is the right word because Alabama has just kicked the shit out of us for years. But they're our nemesis.
Nemesis, rival. We already think about similar phrasing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Alabama's just—I'll admit—Alabama's great. They're a dynasty. They've won like—I think they've won 6 national titles in the last 15 years or so. Like it seems like every other year they win the national title, and they already beat us once this year. About a month ago, we met in the Southeastern Conference championship game, the SEC championship. Yeah, we were in town. We were a mile away when they got beat by Alabama last time, and it's really. Not to bore people who don't give a shit about college football, but it's kind of a rare thing that two teams would play for the title when they've already played each other in the same season. But it's just the way it kind of worked out. Two best teams are from the same conference, the SEC, and they both made it into the 4-team playoff, and we each won our respective first round game. Alabama beat there was 4 teams that make it into the playoffs now, and it was Alabama versus Cincinnati, Georgia versus Michigan. Alabama beat up on Cincinnati. Georgia beat the shit out of Michigan, and here we are with a rematch. And it all comes down to this, and I'm so fucking psyched. And Georgia, just a little context: Georgia has not won the national title in 41 years.
Well,
they won in 1980.
Yeah, why get your hopes up now? I'm not the person to talk to about any of this stuff. I'm asshole.
We made it to the national title game 4 years ago in the 2017 season. The game took place in 2018, you know, early January. But we played Alabama, and we were winning that game the whole game. And then they tied it up, and we went into overtime, and we lost in overtime in the national title game. And it was just such a heartbreaker. And I'm pretty sure that was the only time we'd even been in the title game since we won in 1980. And 4 years later, here we are, repeat of that, and hopefully hopefully the outcome's different. So we'll see. But and let me preface this by saying I know this is ridiculous for a 44-year-old man to be drunk at 1 p.m. in anticipation of a sports ball match played by men half his age. But, dude, I've had a rough couple weeks. I need some excitement. I'm fucking leaning into it. I'm
sure
fucking
as shit
psyched.
Do, buddy. You sure as shit do.
Oh, man. But yeah, real hyped, buddy. Like I've said before, only 2 teams I really, really care about. Like I like the Falcons. I like the Hawks being from Atlanta. But my 2 teams are the Atlanta Braves and the Georgia Bulldogs football team. And as we know, Braves already won it all this year. And now the Dogs with a chance to really complete this immaculate season for me. My 2 teams winning it all in the same year. So, very exciting.
Now, this is I just saw a lot of chatter about a football game last night.
Mm-hmm.
With the Chargers Raiders. I don't know. What happened?
What happened. Both teams were basically winner of that game squeaked into the playoffs. NFL's a little different, where college, you have roughly about 150 teams that play Division I-A football. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the year, the 4 best teams or the 4 highest-ranked teams make it into a 4-team playoff. NFL's a little different, and then you got like 30 or 32 teams, and then I think maybe 8 or 10 of them make it to the playoffs. And both the Chargers and the Raiders were kind of right on the cusp. They needed to win that last game of the season to make it into the playoffs, and the Raiders won in overtime. The Las Vegas Raiders.
That's what it was. Okay, I just wanted – people were going nuts about it. I figured it was because, on Twitter, I follow a lot of L.A. folks, so they were
Yeah, the Chargers. And I think – so the Chargers are out, but I think the Rams made it in. L.A. has 2 teams now, the Chargers and the Rams. But I think the Rams are in the playoffs, but the Chargers got eliminated. And don't really give a shit about either one of those. I've tried. I've been in L.A. now. Come March will be 10 years. And I've tried to adopt some of the L.A. teams, but I kind of like the Rams because their quarterback is Matthew Stafford, who played at Georgia. But, you know, I've tried to get on the Dodgers bandwagon just as like a secondary alternate team from my Braves. Mm-hmm. Try to get on the Dodgers. Try to get on the – it's just not in my heart. I just don't give a shit. And I know that's annoying to, like, natives. Like, I would be annoyed if, you know, if I still lived in Atlanta and you got carpetbaggers coming down and – not really caring about our teams, but that's it is what it is. I can't fake it, you know. I don't give a shit.
Rams only NFL game I've ever been to, and only the second football game I've ever been to. I went to a
We went to that together. What was the first game you went to?
I went to see ASU versus USC, maybe.
Okay.
Which that Arizona one I think State I talked versus... about that. I didn't know. My buddy went to whichever university is in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't know which one of that. Arizona State or University of Arizona.
And I did. This was like not long after I got to LA, and it was a buddy from Addison who I knew who had gone to Arizona for school. Mm-hmm. He was like, we'll go to this college football game. And we were like just gone, just departed at 10 a.m.
Just that's how you do it.
Departed from sobriety. And we were sitting in the section for the Arizona fans, and I was rooting for them because I was with my buddy, but then they started losing, so I just started rooting for the other team because I just want to be with the winners. I don't care. I enjoy the sport. Shit. I pick neither side, and I leave every game happy. I'm a mercenary. I'm just like Boba Fett, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that reference makes sense. I'm just hired. I'm hired to cheer.
I don't know either. Yeah, that's how it is in college. Like a lot of with college, usually you'll have for East Coast time, you'll have a lot of the games are at noon, and a lot of the games are at 3 or 3:30. So back when I was living in Athens, a noon kick, and I lived with like three other dudes that were like hard. Two of them played at Georgia like the year before, and anyway, it was a big football house. Me and three other dudes, and on a noon kickoff, those dudes would start drinking at like 8 in the morning. Like, oh, shit, game kickoff's 4 or 5 hours away. Let's get it going. Tailgating is just such a big part of, like, college football culture that you got an early game. That means you start drinking early. So that's what I'm doing today.
Well, I dig it, man. I'm into it, and I'm rooting for you.
Thank you, buddy. It's very exciting.
I'm doing the opposite. I'm just looking at medical billing here from my appendectomy. That's my big day. going over an itemized bill for my appendectomy.
Your insurance going to take care of most of that?
Fortunately, yeah, but I'm still on the ropes for a couple grand on it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Man, American healthcare. And you know what? Thank God I can pay this.
Yeah.
Because so my appendectomy, let's go over that. You want conspiracy theories? Let's talk about American healthcare. I have a, first off, you get bills from all over the place. Because sure, why wouldn't it all be on one bill? So I have a bill from I guess this is just for the surgeon himself. For a couple thousand dollars.
Jeez.
And that's from one place. Mm-hmm. Now I have a bill from another place, which I guess is the hospital. So this is I got a bill from the doctor who works at a clinic. He doesn't work at a hospital, or the surgeon. I didn't know that. So then I got a bill from the hospital. That one's was originally about $25,000.
Whoa.
So I have insurance, so I'm paying like 10% of that. Imagine people that don't have insurance. Up the
10% still seems high if you're paying insurance premiums every month. What do I know? That just still.
But, well, again, you want to dig into how much of a scam a for-profit healthcare country is. Yeah, you pay for insurance. You pay for your insurance, and I have it through Screen Actors Guild for now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no longer a screen actor, so I don't know how long that lasts. Thank God I had it now, you know? Mm-hmm. And, and make it confusing. Let's make sure to make it confusing. So, again, here's a $2,000 bill for a surgeon at one place who came to this hospital. Yet I still have an operating room charge of $10,000.
Whoa.
That's,
and you were there, what, 24 hours?
I went in about 10 at night. I was home by 2 the next day, 2 p.m. the next day.
Oh, barely 16 hours. Good God.
Yeah, so I'm confused. So, like, I went to the emergency room. That was $3,600. But this is where I didn't understand, like, what did they do at the emergency room? Because all I did, they checked me in at the emergency room, and then I sat in the waiting room until they put me into, an actual bed. But then the actual bed, wouldn't that be under these? It's wild, man. It's a wild, fucked up shit system, I'll say that. And I'm incredibly grateful that I somehow am on the lucky side of having insurance through a union and can pay for it. But there's like this medical debt ruins people's lives.
Yeah, yeah.
It destroys people's lives. This is a first world country. We're calling ourselves a first world country. And if you get sick without insurance, you could be in debt. On top of imagine your student loans that you got to go to college to get a job, and then you don't get to get a job, but you have to pay those back. Imagine getting sick and having student loans. Your fucking life's over. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, cool. I experienced that.
Cool
my
stuff.
My whole childhood, I experienced that. My dad made a decent living, but so much of his income went to pay for all my mom's medical bills. My mom's had like 27 surgeries.
Damn.
You know, we've talked about that, being a paraplegic, being in a wheelchair, just one problem leads to another. My whole childhood, my mom was in and out of the hospital, and I didn't really understand, you know, but my dad was always like, geez, these bills, like, you know, you could never get a leg up. And they had insurance too, just like you're talking about, but still had to fork out just tons of money.
But yeah, think about, I mean, this is from one little oopsie. It didn't even burst.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a $2,200 charge for having good, decent insurance, I think.
Yeah.
Now, man, I can only imagine in a position like your parents were in with having recurring health problems.
Yeah.
So
first time I had a kidney stone, I went to the ER with no insurance, $6,000.
Fuck.
And put it on a payment plan, paid it off in like 8 years. It's like, if I can give you $100 a month, that's about all I can do.
Yeah, I think I was it was like $600 or $700 for 5 stitches.
Jeez.
When I look back, I'm like, I probably didn't need stitching. I probably could have handled it. You could, you can crazy glue that stuff together if you need to.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so that's, anyway, that's not a fun thing to talk about. But that's, if you really want to look at the real conspiracy, like just who, I mean, this is where I get caught going off on the fact that like China has fucking internment camps right now. But they make all our stuff, so nobody's really.
Do they really have? They really have internment camps?
Yeah, there's the Muslims that are. I believe it's. Is it in the western part of the country? And they're just. I mean, that's the stuff that I'm clicking on now. Granted, I'm getting my information from the internet, so fucking grain of salt, right? But there is some supremely shady shit that goes on routinely. Over there, the one tennis star that like was accused people of sexual abuse, and she just disappeared. They just disappear people all the time that speak up against the government.
I didn't know about that story.
Yeah, she was like supposed to play in some tennis. They pulled. I forget who it was. I think they pulled all the participants from doing this tournament. Listen to me talk about this with half truths and misheard information, but. Tennis. Let's look up Chinese tennis. Here we go. Here, this is NPR. Let's go to this. Tennis star Peng Shuai says her accusations of sexual assault have been misunderstood. Okay. She took to social media to accuse a Communist Party official of sexual assault. But then in an interview later on, after she was missing and nobody heard from her, she came out to say, oh, I never said anything about somebody sexually assaulting me.
Mm.
So it seems like somebody got to her.
Jeez. And now she's gone.
No. Now she's back and saying that she was misunderstood.
Gotcha.
But the WTA, I'm assuming that's Women's Tennis Association, has suspended, what did it say, suspending all tournaments in China as a result of the attempt to censor this tennis player. So the Women's Tennis Association is taking a more ethical stance on China than, fuck, man, we need these iPhones, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, cool, fun stuff. Don't want to ruin your day. Don't want to ruin your midday buzz.
I was just thinking about your new bit in the new hour about the iPhones and the fingerprints.
Oh, man. But it is. I mean, like, just like anything else, like everybody bitching about Jeff Bezos, this fucking jerk going to space. Stop buying shit from Amazon. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. It is not fucking hard. You did it. 4 years ago, you did it. 4 years ago, you got off your ass, you went to the store, or you find it elsewhere online.
Yeah.
And then some edgelord had to get on me one time where I'm like, stop buying shit from Amazon. He's like, well, a lot of independent sellers use Amazon, so if you boycott Amazon, you're boycotting. I'm like, find the thing you like on Amazon. Look up who makes it. If it's an independent seller, they might have another avenue, maybe their own website to sell shit through.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, what are we talking about today, Dave? What am I getting angry about? I had Burmese food last night. Here's one. We went to get Burmese food last night, and the restaurant had robots in it, Dave.
I don't even know where Burma is. Where's Burma?
Well,
what is that?
Apparently, it's close to where they make robots. Burma.
What kind of food do they have in Burma?
It's similar to Indian cuisine. I had some okra vegetable curry. Rachel had like a chicken curry. Yeah, let's get our geography correct and look up Burma. Let's do that, Dave. Burma.
I know mission of Burma.
Myanmar.
But I don't know Burma.
Myanmar.
Myanmar. It is Myanmar. Right. You probably know it is Burma, but you know it is Myanmar.
It is between Thailand and Bangladesh. Or Bangladesh is a city. No, it's a country. Wow, let's learn in front of the public and just show people how stupid we really are. It is just west of Thailand and Laos. It is southwest of China. What are these?
So, are you Japanese or are you Chinese?
It's hard. You know what? I'm learning a lot. Bangladesh is its own country. But then I'm, so anyway, so it's tucked in there. So it's got some, some Asian flavors in it, some Indian flavors in it, it was good food, but they had these little robots. So you walk in and you check in with a person and they're like, no, and it's a small restaurant. It was not necessary. She could have pointed like, you're going to sit at that table. But then we followed a little, like a tall Roomba over to our table. And then we'd order through a person.
So the robot escorted you to your table.
Yeah.
It was a mobile robot.
Yeah. And it's got it's like a little bakery tray or something. Cause it's got shelves on it. Cause then they would put the food on it from the kitchen. Again, it's a very small restaurant, but they'd put the food on it and then it would come to our table with our food. And the employees did not seem, entertained by that. Like, and it was hard to deal with because you're looking at it like, oh, they make them cute. They put a little screen on it. So it's got little blinky, fun kind of eyeballs, but like animation style, cute eyes blinking and smiling at you. But this is the future. This is like, you have to work alongside the things that are going to take your jobs.
That's weird, dude.
And then I'm like, do they get, are people tipping less because robots brought their food from the kitchen?
Great point.
Yeah, I can't see, like, that. Nobody there seemed okay with it. Maybe it's, but I don't know, maybe because it was a Sunday night, they were done with the weekend, whatever. But we watched one robot. It was like such a mix of like First off, we got a salad that was like you had to hand toss it yourself. I was like, oh, we included these gloves so you could tell. It's called a rainbow salad. It was very good.
What?
It was.
What?
It had like rice and noodles. No, that's the thing. A robot brought us a salad that we had to toss ourselves.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
Rachel thought it was part of the experience. She had fun. She put the gloves on, got her hands in there, got salad all over the damn table.
Well, see, and that's how they get you. Oh, it's part of the experience. Oh, really? Or am I just doing a job that you should do?
Well,
it's an experience.
Because it was one of those, it had like rice and noodles. It had like hot elements and cold elements. But I just thought that just the juxtaposition of having a robot bring you a salad that you had to toss yourself was a little wild. But then we're looking back in the hallway, and there's one robot, like the busboy robot or what have you, or the bus bot, kind of waiting in the hallway, but it's got a little blinky screen on it, so it's like blinking and smiling. Meanwhile, we look to the right, and there's a dude in the kitchen having a hard time opening a tin can with a fork. And I'm like, maybe they need the robots. I don't know. It was a whole thing, dude. And it seemed they made it look cute and novel right now, but that's the future.
It's wow.
Robots coming to get you.
At a Burmese restaurant, no less.
Yeah. Good food, by the way. Top Burmese.
Similar to Indian, you say.
It's got, I mean, now looking at it on a map, where the location of Myanmar, you could see that how the surrounding areas influenced the cuisine. But tasty stuff, man. I'll tell you that.
I could eat Indian food every day and not get bored of it.
I mean,
I love Indian food so much.
If you like Chinese food and Thai food and Indian food, that's what's surrounding this area, and all that kind of informs their own flavors. And I had like a beet and honey drink that was good.
Really?
Yeah, you know what? It was exciting because it was like, it's not your everyday flavors. Like I don't know what if you. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, I just want to eat something different, you know?
Yeah.
I want a new taste. Mm-hmm. Find yourself some Burmese food, Dave. It's familiar, but new.
Watch out for those beets. The next day you'll think that you have colon cancer.
I made that mistake with beets every time I eat beets. And the one time I threw up after drinking Four Loko, I thought I had to go to the emergency room. And I was like, nope. I did. It was in a can, so I couldn't see that it was bright red drink. This was, it was like a weird, it looked like ginger ale though. It was golden beets maybe, I don't know.
Hey, it's me, Dave. Have we talked about ExpressVPN? Do you know about ExpressVPN? I think I've told you about this before. If you're using the internet, you absolutely must have something like ExpressVPN. If you're on the internet, if you're using the web, the net, if you're surfing the net, you got to get ExpressVPN, because doing so without ExpressVPN, it's a lot like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station to grab a bag of pork rinds. Most of the time, you're probably fine, but what happens when you come back to find that your car's gone? Someone stole your car because you didn't take the proper precautions. All right, ExpressVPN, what it does is it protects all of your own personal data when you're online, especially when you're online using an unencrypted network, like if you're at a restaurant or a hotel or airport. So if there's a hacker on that same network, they can gain access to your personal data within minutes. Apparently, it's not hard to do. A smart 12-year-old could figure it out. And they make thousands of dollars by stealing your personal data, all right? Not going to happen if you have ExpressVPN. All right, they have this thing called the encrypted tunnel. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. Hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It's super secure. They claim it'd take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. Now, I don't know how they prove that, but hey, I trust them. It's easy to use. I use it, so it's obviously easy to use. I'm not very tech savvy. You fire up the app, you click one button, boom, you're protected. It literally took me 10 seconds to figure it out and how to apply it. So been using it now for a while. Works great. Works on all your devices, your phones, your laptops, tablets, whatever you got. So easy. So good. I'm paranoid about this stuff. I just had a porch pirate steal a physical package 2 days ago. All right. Lord knows what's going on the internet. I've been a victim of this stuff before. I had my bank account wiped out about 5 years ago. I think I remember telling you about that. I'm paranoid about this stuff, and I shop online a lot. I'm always buying records or grits or all kinds, you know, anything, you know, that I, my Duke's Mayo that I can't get here in Southern California, buy that stuff online. So, you know, like you, I'm shopping online. I'm on the web. I'm on there doing that stuff. So I used to be paranoid about it, but not anymore because I got ExpressVPN. They got me covered, and they can cover you as well. Here's what you do. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/boogie. That's ExpressVPN, Victor Papa November, expressvpn.com/boogie. You're going to get an extra 3 months absolutely free. That's expressvpn.com/boogie. All right, new year, new you. New things up your butt? I don't know. AdamandEve.com, they want to help you out. Make a New Year's resolution for better sex this year. That's a fun one. That's a fun one that you're not going to worry about breaking. Come on. Make a resolution to get into it more often and all that stuff. Just stick things in place. All right. Best way to get started, go to AdamandEve.com right now. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to select almost any one item for 50% off. Then Adam and Eve loads on the free stuff. Gross. Enter offer code Boogie at checkout. Get 10 tantalizing free gifts. What could those be? A sexy item for him, special gift for her, third item you'll both enjoy, plus 6 free spicy movies. There you go. Plus free shipping. This is a resolution everyone has a chance to stick with. Bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom this year. Go to adamandeve.com, select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything that you're into. Doesn't matter. Enter offer code Boogie at checkout. You're going to get 50% off almost any one item, plus 3 free bonus gifts, plus the 6 free movies, plus the free shipping. Good God, what a great deal. Offer code Boogie, that's B-O-O-G-I-E, Boogie, at adamandeve.com. What's up, boogers? Any of you folks out there driving trucks, you probably know how convenient a nice truck can be, but also how risky it can be to leave your gear, your tools, your what have you, in the bed of the truck. Not just for security issues, but also out in the elements. I used to have several trucks. I used to own a landscaping company. We've talked about that. More than one occasion, I've had some tools stolen. Pissed me off, something awful. Would not have happened had I had the decked drawer system. You know about the decked drawer system? It's weatherproof. It keeps your stuff safe from the rain, the ice, the snow, thieves, whatever. Decked makes organizing and accessing everything you need so much easier. Each of Decked's 2 full bed-length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. The drawers roll out waist high, giving you easy access to your organized tools and gear. The decked drawer system keeps your gear secure. If your tailgate is locked, you can't open the drawers and you can't remove the system. It's that easy. Even the drawers have locks for added security and peace of mind. Decked is 100% made in the USA and backed by a lifetime, no-hassle warranty with a second-to-none customer service team ready to answer any and all your questions. Here's what we do. Protect your stuff with Decked. Get your Decked drawer system at Decked.com/boogie. That's D-E-C-K-E-D, Decked.com/boogie. You're going to get free shipping. How about that? That's Decked.com/boogie for free shipping on your Decked drawer system, Decked.com/boogie.
But anyway, so there's robots. And as much as they were cute, I felt like, oof, what an uncomfortable glimpse into the future.
Mm. Yeah, it is weird. That's on my list, by the way, of episodes to get to this year. So I want to revisit the singularity.
Yeah. I just imagine working at a place that, like, buys robots instead of giving you a raise. And then we were the last ones there. We closed it down, and all the robots were just like grouped in a corner.
Did they really?
Yeah, they just park. They just get parked in a corner. But then that's where the AI becomes self aware. You put them that close to each other, they start talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything. Wow. They brought the food. The robots brought the food and the drinks. I paid with my phone. On, like, the thing had a QR code on the receipt. that was brought to me by a person, but then I just paid through a QR code. But legit, like, how much are people sitting there thinking, well, I'm not going to tip. I still tip 20%. Where, like, you got to fuck up something. You have to be personally a shitty person to me for me to not tip 20% at least.
Same. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, as a server, like, even if you told me to go fuck my own mother, I'd still be like, it looks like they're pretty backed up in the kitchen. It's a stressful job. I would still find an excuse. Even that, I'd be like, all right, well, let's figure out what 17% is, because that was a little rude that they would say that to me during the appetizer. Like, they said that to me early in the meal. But I wonder if that's, like, affecting people then. Like, well, they didn't do any of the things.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. I totally get that. It's the same way of, like, I don't tip as much on takeout as I do if I was dining in. When I go to pick up takeout, like, I'll throw 15%.
Yeah.
But when I sit down, when I dine in, I'll usually do minimum 20, sometimes 25 or 30.
Yeah.
But because if you really think about it, like, the waiter, when you're dining in, is doing a lot more work than... And now, that being said, I do believe in tipping the to-go person, you know, the takeout. You should tip them something, but if you really want to put it under a microscope, the waiter who's taking care of you while you're dining in is doing a lot more work than the person who's just handling your takeout order.
Yeah, I'm just locked in, like, listen, 20's going to be the easiest to remember. And
mm-hmm. Easy thing to calculate.
And it's like, I probably got to, you know, make up for the people that don't tip or are shitty tippers.
And That's why I still can't get over. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I understand the argument of people thinking, well, just get rid of it, pay the servers a livable wage. But a lot of them don't want that because they make above and beyond. They put the effort in and reap the monetary rewards of it. And it's one of the few places that you can still do that. Like, I'm going to go above and beyond with my efforts, and hopefully that translates into more cash out of people.
Yeah. A good server or a really good bartender at a high-end place, you know, they can make $50 an hour easy.
Yeah, so I can see them not wanting to take $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you get into that.
That's why
it
used to blow
job.
My mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back when we started this podcast, I was driving Lyft as my primary income, and no shit, like, I'm not exaggerating, like, 80% of my customers did not tip. And I don't know if it's still that way. I don't know if it was because it was kind of a newer thing. But it used to blow my fucking mind that I'm driving my car, paying for my own gas, driving you wherever you want to go. And 80% of the people did not tip. Nothing. Like, not even like a bad tip. Like, just no tip. Like, 8 times out of 10, I was not expecting a tip. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you idiots?
I think,
like,
that's,
I can,
like,
imagine not tipping.
I think they, like, I want to say that was a new service that people did not know how to handle.
You still can't take 10 seconds to fucking figure it out? You don't have common sense? Oh, this guy's driving me in his car.
Yeah, but they
for
don't, they don't know
I
that you're paying for your gas. They don't know what the rates are. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's unfamiliar.
True.
It was an unfamiliar thing. Like, I remember too, like, tip, I just paid you $30. And then you find out that they get fuck all out of that. And it's like, oh, yeah, that, what a shit deal.
Yeah, but you wouldn't use that same logic at a restaurant. Hey, I just paid $40 for a steak. Why am I giving you
if
extra
I had
money?
Never been
well,
to a,
paying
if
for
I
the
had
steak,
never been to a restaurant before.
Yeah, okay.
I'm saying, like, Lyft was a new thing. I remember what was it called? Sidecar was the first version I heard from. And I remember I was like, on a date, and this girl was trying to explain it to me, and I just could not get it. She's like, they come and pick you up in their car. I'm like, fuck that. That's sketchy as hell. How do I trust an app and just a dude with his own Corolla is going to be like, get in. Fuck you.
First time I understood rideshare was with Lyft, and that was back when they had the big fuzzy mustaches on the front of the grill of the car. Do you
felt
remember those?
So bad for
This is probably 2013, 2014. And I understood it as like some sort of charity thing. I was like, I thought it was a anti-drunk driving thing. Like, hey, well, if you're too drunk to drive, call Lyft and they'll come pick you up for I thought it was free. Yeah. I was like, they'll just come pick you up and take you home for free. I didn't understand it was like a, you know, an app-based business.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember first seeing like the furry mustaches on the cars. It's like, oh, that's that Lyft thing. I think they'll just hook you up if you're too drunk to drive.
Yeah, because they I remember that, and then because Uber, I just remember Lyft, like you got to fist bump them and sit in the front and be a buddy. I'm like, no, fuck you. I don't want.
No, I'm not sitting in the front.
If you're giving me a ride for free, I'll be friends with you. But I just want to not deal with that at all. So anyway,
I remember back in the day, back around right after Katrina, I was delivering pizza for Papa John's. And gas, in Georgia at least, had just hit. It was like such a story, such a milestone that gas had just hit $3 a gallon. Never in the history of gas and automobiles has gas been $3 a gallon. And about every fourth or fifth customer that I would deliver to with Papa John's would stiff me. Just, hey, they just take the pizza and tell me to have a good day and no tip. And my go-to move, I would take a couple of steps away and I would just yell because I was also at the point where I was kind of not needing that gig and I was young and brash and didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. But my go-to move, if I got stiffed, I would just take a couple of steps back towards my car and just scream at the top of my lungs, gas is $3 a gallon. Like, what the fuck? I drive my car to your house because you didn't want to go out and pick it up yourself. We're providing a convenience, a service of convenience. You can't fuck it. You can't tip me a buck. I'm paying $3 a gallon for gas, which was unheard of. You couldn't throw me anything. Yeah, it's amazing how many people don't fucking tip.
Man. I mean, I delivered pizzas for a good long time, and it was fun because we would always share like no tip from these guys. So they just got. Well, you'll get your pizza when you get your pizza. We already know you're not tipping.
Exactly.
We already know as drivers you don't tip. Then we'll see you when we see you.
almost got fired from Longhorn back in the day. Guy left me $1 on a $90 check. $90 check left me $1. And I wasn't aggressive, but I followed him out in the parking lot. And I remember he was a dude and he was with his girl. And I was like, hey, man. And he turned around and said, well, what's up? I was like, hey, you left this on the table. And it was $1.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, that's your tip. And I just dropped it at his feet. I said, that's not a tip. That's an insult. You hang on to that. And then he circled back and ratted me out to my boss. My boss almost fired me. He's like, look, you can't do that.
You sure can. I'm like, well, you sure can.
I was like, what the fuck, man? Really? I can't. I didn't fucking punch him. I didn't cuss at him. I was very calm. I was very polite. But I was just like, you hang on to that, buddy. $1 on $90. Go fuck yourself.
A boss willing to lose a good employee to keep a shitty customer is not a fucking boss. That is not a good manager. Oh, this is an employee that works hard, but we got to keep the corporate stuff. This guy might write an email to headquarters. I hats off to the true frontline people, the servers and bartenders of that industry, man. I couldn't do it.
Same boss who almost fired me a second time because one night I'm waiting on a table and it was a family of four and they had two small children. And the dude, I just walked by and the man, the husband, backhanded his like toddler. It was like a 2 or 3 year old kid in the face, just smack. Like hard, knocked the kid out of the booth onto the floor.
Well,
and I told my manager, I said, hey, did you see that? What the fuck? And he's like, oh, well, that's none of our business, blah, blah, blah.
Fuck
that. And when that guy was leaving, I cut him off at the exit. I was like, hey, man, did you enjoy your meal? He goes, yeah. I was like, hey, do me a favor. Next time you want to beat your fucking kid, do it somewhere else. Because if you do it here again, I'm going to beat your fucking ass. And then he ratted me out too. And my boss, again, same conversation. You can't talk to customers that way.
Your boss sounds like a real bitch.
I told you. Yeah. I was like, hey, dude, I told you what happened and you didn't do shit. So I'm sorry, but I'm the kind of guy that can't fucking turn the cheek, turn the other cheek.
Why don't I talk
shit
to the police about the child abuse that you allowed in your restaurant?
Yeah.
How about I do that? Boss didn't want to get his hands dirty. And you answer corporate for not wanting to get in other people's business.
Yeah, he literally knocked the kid out of the booth onto the floor.
You know what? That guy, your boss, probably doing great middle management right now.
Yeah.
Probably a handsomely paid doormat.
Duncan at the Canton Longhorn back in 2000. What a fucking dork. Anyway.
Wow, got riled on that one. Got riled on it.
I'm riled. Hey, I need you to do me, I need you to Google something. I want you to see this shit.
All right, what's
changing
going
gears
on
here? Do you know about the, I don't know if it's pronounced Bogdanov or Bogdanov.
I don't know.
You know the Bogdanov twins?
Bogdanov. Oh, yeah, they died from COVID.
They died from COVID 6 days apart.
Yeah.
I know. Bogdanov twins before and after.
They've undergone extensive cosmetic surgery, but did not get vaccinated because they were taking natural treatments. That's the part that I read.
What the fuck?
They've been in every kind of look at these freaks kind of thing.
Are those like from my personal history? I can't think of seeing more fucked up plastic surgery than these idiots.
I mean,
I shouldn't speak ill of the dead.
What
the fuck were they doing?
I think it's at that point. I think they look like the Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, very much so.
That's the most bizarre plastic surgery I've ever seen.
I think you get that body dysmorphia, and you get kind of removed from what things are. You see people with like 1,000 tattoos and you realize they're not that into tattoos. They just kept getting one dumb one after another dumb one and thought they could outrun their own bad taste. You know, and I stopped myself because I was on that route. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, well, you know, I've even made a joke about it. Like, oh, the next one's going to be cool. Like that, I think. It could be that way with plastic surgery. Well, I got this fixed, but now this thing looks weird. You get like, you know, maybe it's like obsessive compulsive disorder that manifests itself into this body dysmorphia.
Have you ever had any interest
plastic
in
surgery?
Plastic surgery?
I had my dick done. I had some dick work done. I had it shortened.
It reminds me.
I had it shortened. I was having back problems. It's too big.
Eddie Pepitone's got a bit where he goes, I've had a lot of work done. I had my gut let out and my hair removed because I was too sexy. I mean, what? I know this is probably, you know, politically incorrect, but like.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Dudes in plastic surgery. I get that women, and I know that that's probably not right, but I get that women and society and beauty standards and blah, blah, blah. When I see a dude with facial work too much, like, what the fuck, dude? What is that?
Everybody's got stuff about their bodies they want to fix. Why is there a treadmill in your living room?
Health, you know, longevity, but like, just I want my lips to look fucking ridiculous. Okay,
but they get to the point. It's not. It is probably hard to understand if you're not also suffering from that kind of like, oh, if I could just fix this. Oh, now, I fix that. Now I'd like to fix this other thing. You know. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I can see how that's affects men and women, you know, thinking you got to adhere to some beauty. I was trying to make some joke about how I'm glad I'm not doing like trying to be in LA and go on auditions. I'm like, I don't have to worry about buying hair. Like, oh, I'd have to buy hair. Like every famous dude, you know, has fake hair. Everyone. I think every single one.
Mm-hmm.
has had some some hair worked.
Yeah.
And I don't hate, like, go for it then. That keeps you in the business that you're in, you know? Fucking steroids for your looks. So.
I don't get it.
Yeah, good.
No, I mean, I do get it. I get it.
Up on that kind of thing.
I get it. No, I get what you're saying. I get if you're an actor and it's like, look, I got to, you know, make some alterations so I can keep working. But these two fucking goobers just, make me look like Beauty and the Beast. Make me look like a fucking lion man.
That's just, you know, mentally ill people that I think eventually get to a point where they're like, maybe, you know, you see women with like the absolute circus tits and fake asses. Like the fact that you can get a fake butt is pretty funny. The fact that robots brought me my food last night and you can get a fake butt. Like, this is the future. This is the future. I watched a robot steal somebody's job in front of their face and you can get a fake butt. Like, what? Again, I always go back to, why would you have kids and not train them like Eric Bana treats that girl in Hana? Like, just raise your children to be assassins. Otherwise, it's pointless to have a child.
What, Hana?
Hana. I don't know that movie. Oh, yeah. Eric Bana lives in the woods. Yeah, and these guys just he's being hunted by people, so that's why he lives in the woods, and he's just been training his daughter to be a vigilante her whole young life.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only way I could see having a child. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to raise you to be a mercenary. You will know languages and the skills of an assassin. I just want a Jason Bourne kid. What if I raise a kid and be like, I'm going to go into communications. Get the fuck out of here. You're food. You are food for the future. You are food. The future is the road, and you will be the people that get eaten.
It seems so bleak right now. How long do you think we're going to last as a country? Do you think we're at the end?
Oh, as a country?
Or as a society?
Just say we're learning Spanish. We're trying to learn Spanish around this household, man.
Oh, really? Not Chinese?
No.
No offense to the Spanish-speaking population, but are they the ones that are going to take over? I don't see that.
It's not about who's going to take over. It's about, where do I want to go?
Oh, okay.
If you want to be in international real estate, by all by all means, learn Mandarin. I was talking to somebody the other day about this. Like, I could either learn a new skill set that transcends language and figure out how to move based on that, or I can retain my skill set, which is stand up, and learn how to do it in a different language and move. And I don't know if it's better. You know, these are just rudimentary thoughts of like, I don't think it's looking good, but am I just looking at the stuff that the algorithm feeds me to get paranoid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I might just be doing that.
I'm so impressed by anyone that can speak a second language. I know that's a hack premise, but I can barely speak my own language, and I've been working at it for 44 years. I can't imagine just learning another whole language and dialect. That's impressive.
I'm trying to see how much Spanish I still remember from being a kid, but from high school. It's good to be immersed in it, you know? They say watch children's shows that are in the language that you want to learn and then put the closed captions on. Because the children's shows are using the basic forms of language and they're kind of talking slower. So you can match that up with the closed captions.
Okay.
I've heard that said as a tip to kind of immerse yourself in it as opposed to learning one word at a time. But I'd put a thing on Twitter a few weeks ago, like, hey, people with new kids or babies, is the thing that you have hope for about the future? Because they have to have hope. You got a kid.
Uh-huh.
Now you got to have a good, you have to have some sort of redeeming attitude towards what's coming up. Otherwise, how are you going to be, How are you going to parent a child?
Yeah.
We can be learn What'd math, you learn? Although you won't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying, you know, and I was thinking about this last night, actually, that we don't, you know, who knows what somebody that's 25 years younger than us, what their whole attitude is going to be towards the world once they get to take it over. Hopefully even our generation, which is young compared to like politics, given that like, why the fuck are we letting anybody over the age of 65 be in office?
Absolutely.
How do you, Absolutely. How are you even part of the populace, the, you know, most people that are it working and living in the world? You're at a mm-hmm. retirement age for a fucking reason mm-hmm. to fuck off because you're too old mm-hmm. to be that. So be a wizened elder from the sideline, whittle something and tell me about the olden times, but don't inform policy for someone that's 40 weird. Years younger than you. We Why shouldn't is that? Have abortions. Why? Electricity's scary.
Why did we elect? How old is Biden now? Late 70s?
I don't know. Old as fuck.
I mean, seriously, why not?
Because.
Were there no viable candidates that were 48?
There. And this is the thing, it would eliminate Bernie being old as shit, but that guy still seems like mm-hmm. he had some ideas we all liked. Mm-hmm. It was it's fucked. And nobody's excited. That whole vote blue, no matter who. Good, great. Now we got this fucking dud.
Uh-huh.
But again, I'm starting to talk about stuff that I'm not informed enough.
But it does
this
seem
is conversation
weird.
For private, not for public consumption, because I'm not I'm out there reading the stories every day. It just doesn't seem like anybody's real excited about this old dud that's shuffling about.
But yeah. It is weird that on a base level that we've elected a person who could die at any minute. And I know that we could all die at any minute, but like statistically, I mean, he's older than the life expectancy of
median
an American
age,
male.
As of 2019, the median age of the United States is 38 years. We're older than the average American.
Wow.
38 years, that's average.
38's the average age, people?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right. The average age, not the average life expectancy. What is the life expectancy? Isn't it like in America for like a male,
really?
Like 72, 74?
Average life expectancy.
Early to mid-70s?
USA life expectancy as of 2020, 77.3. Lowest it's been since 2003. Good job.
Jeez.
77.
But yeah, just
years old.
Well, and it does seem bizarre that we've elected a guy so old because on a personal level,
Joe Biden is 79 years old. Joe Biden is older.
God.
This past the life expect that dude's almost fucking 80. We got a goddamn 80-year-old.
That's crazy.
Going around.
And I'm not being an ageist, but it is crazy.
But it's not like he's displayed a skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know this is wrong. I know that I'm wrong thinking this way. But Katie and I were talking about this the other day. The fact that we don't have kids and will never have kids, that's why I don't give a shit about politics.
mm-hmm.
Like, I know this is wrong, and I know this is selfish, but it's my reality. I'm not too concerned about the future of this country beyond 30, 40 years from now, because there's no way I'm making it that far. I've gone on record as saying I feel like I'm going to die at 60, if that. I'll be lucky to reach 60.
I don't know if this is the kind of thing you really want to be putting in the world, man.
No, but just what
these
I mean
vibe,
overall.
These
like,
are the vibes you want to have right now?
No, I'm saying wild. I'm wrong. I know this is wrong, and I shouldn't feel this way and think this way and operate this way. But, like, I don't have kids, you know, as long as on a selfish mode, like as long as I can get to the finish line comfortably, oh, what the fuck do I care? And I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. But like,
well, yeah, I think it's I'm going to.
But yet we're going to trust a 79-year-old to lead us and make the best decisions when he knows in the back of his mind that he's living on borrowed time.
Yeah, well, imagine if they had the same attitude. I'm just going to make choices that serve the people closest to me and not the nation as a whole. Just think any politician. I think that was like what the newly elected mayor in New York just appointed his younger brother as like the police commissioner who has no experience in it at all. Like, yeah, I'm going to get my hook up my brother. Okay, that's great. That's great.
Really?
That's great for the city. That. Yeah, that's something I just read. Like, yeah, this it's pretty fishy there, buddy. It doesn't look too good. Mm-hmm. What if, I mean, listen, we're wading into politics. We know it's not our strong suit. Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it be interesting? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be interesting if a 38-year-old got elected president?
Well, I'd like to see what that looks 40. Like.
Is it 40?
Minimum age president. I think it's 35.
35, yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. Kennedy. Was Kennedy the youngest president?
You got me Googling a lot of stuff here. Let's see. Youngest president. All right. This is why the big podcasts have a person for this stuff.
And I'm sitting in front of a computer, but I'm like, you do it.
Teddy Roosevelt, 42.
42, that's right. Well,
he became it by assassination.
Uh-huh.
Youngest president by election was John F. Kennedy, who was inaugurated at 43. That's a while. Okay. I can't imagine being a... I'm barely in charge of this shit around here. I'm arguing with medical billers. Now, I'm the president at 43? Yikes.
Did you know that Teddy Roosevelt was giving a speech? And I think he was president at this point. He was giving a speech somewhere in public, got shot in the chest, and was like, I'm good. I'll finish the speech. I'll go to the hospital later. Yeah, he got shot and finished his fucking obligation.
Yeah, man, people got shit done. That guy was a maniac. People did stuff back in the day. Bill Clinton, 46.
46, okay.
Well,
man, JFK got elected at 43. Man, do I feel like a fucking loser.
Well, you don't have to feel like a loser just because somebody else was president at 43. I mean, a lot of people did other things too that you can compare yourself to.
I've accomplished and almost
feel
nothing
like a loser.
I don't even own a home. I have no children. I don't own a home. I don't own property. What the fuck have I done with my life?
I feel like that's a win. I feel like, oh yeah, I'm not all the things that my friends complain about. I'm not burdened with.
Yeah.
Cool.
No.
Seems
Katie
cool,
and I
man.
Were talking about that the other day about like how refreshing it is to know that like we don't have to save for anyone's college. We don't have to, all we got to do is take care of each other. And I like that. I like the least amount of responsibility.
You don't want to worry about nothing.
All right, Blenders Eyewear, baby. Sliding season is finally here. Talking about skiing. Blenders Eyewear has all the fresh gear your head needs to get down on the slopes. Blenders' new snow collection is cleaner, colder, and more colorful than ever. Three lines of goggles, extra lenses, helmets, and beanies. Blenders is hooking you up with good vibes all winter long. I've been rocking my Blenders shades for a while now. I got the Swagger Cat model. I think I need to upgrade to some winter stuff, though. That's the Swagger Cat's more of a spring and summer thing. I need to see what they have to offer in terms of the winter stuff. Unlike expensive big brand shades and goggles that you've lost or smashed or sat on, whatever, Blenders are actually affordable, So you're not going to be as upset when the inevitable happens. You're probably going to smash them or lose them or sit on them or something. But no big deal. It's not like they cost a fortune. They're well made. They're a great product, but they're also affordable. Blender's team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles and colors. Choose from the Nebula, the Aura, or the all-new Lunar Collection. Whichever goggle you choose, you know that you're getting gear that elevates every move you make on the mountain. And it's not just sunglasses or goggles. Blender's has prescription glasses as well. They have readers, blue lights, all that stuff. Live life in forward motion with Blender's today. Here's what you do to score 15% off your Blender's purchase. Visit blenderseyewear.com/BoogieVIP. That's blenderseyewear.com/BoogieVIP for 15% off. Blender's, rocked with pride worldwide. Look, we're all adults here, right? Well, most of us, I assume. Some of us choose to use nicotine to relax, focus, or just unwind after a long day. Lucy Nicotine is a company that was created to help nicotine users find a definitive option and feel better about the ways they consume nicotine. Their latest product is Lucy Nicotine Capsule Pouches, which contain a breakable flavor ball, there you go, inside a pure synthetic nicotine that provides the same satisfaction that nicotine users expect without any tobacco at all. Lucy Nicotine Capsule Pouches include coconut oil to provide a soft, fluffy texture that enhances the flavor and doesn't dry out your mouth. They come in two strengths, 4 and 8 milligrams, and 3 exclusive and delicious flavors, spearmint, mango, and cool cider. I'm not a smoker, but I'm almost tempted to start smoking just so I can quit with Lucy Nicotine. It's 2021. Don't compromise when choosing your nicotine products. Go with the newest tobacco-free options from Lucy. Boogie Monster listeners, go to lucy.co, not com, lucy.co. Use promo code Boogie to get 20% off your order of Lucy nicotine capsule pouches or any other Lucy products. That's lucy.co. Use promo code Boogie at checkout. Also, I have to give you this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains non-tobacco nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co. Be sure to use that promo code Boogie.
Well, speaking about minimum response, that's, you can design your life however you want to. Just as long as it's not making it worse for other people. That's my thing. If whatever I'm doing isn't, which is also like, all right, you hear enough stories about how shitty it is to work at Amazon. Well, if you stop buying stuff from there, but then those people don't have a job. It's the same thing of like, stop buying shit made in China. It's fucked up slave labor stuff. But then I don't think they're going to run out of stuff to make. If I try to look at labels and try not to buy shit that's made in China, I don't think someone there is going to starve past the point that their employer is already allowing them to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think me not buying a pair of sweatpants is going to, you know, take lunch away from a guy living in squalor, working in a factory, huffing sweatpant exhaust, which is a different term entirely. So, I don't know, man. We got no answers on this one, folks.
No. Dude, change of gears. I had a fucking porch pirate the other day.
Oh, I saw that.
This motherfucker. And you know what fucking pisses me off worse than anything is I was sitting 3 feet away the whole time. Didn't know. Oh!
What'd he get?
Fucking, I bought some grits. Some mail order grits. This motherfucker took my grits. Ah! If I'd have fucked. I'm more mature. I'm not out looking for trouble, but God damn it. If I'd have seen this fucking doofus walk up and steal my shit, there would have been an incident. Motherfucker took my grits right from under my nose. What am I doing? Fuck these porch pirates. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, thieves, man.
You don't even know what you're stealing. You don't even, that's the thing. Like, I get it if, like, this guy's got a thing and I love that thing and I'll never have it, so I'm going to take it. You don't even know what you're fucking stealing, you piece of shit.
That's probably the fun of it.
And I like to think that I'm mature and violence is never the answer. But goddamn, if I had witnessed that shit, if I'd have been looking through my peephole and I'd seen that, there'd have been a problem.
There'd have been a problem.
I'd have sore knuckles right now. God damn it.
Yeah, I was kind of laughing yourself, at man. How at least that guy doesn't look like every single dude in Long Beach.
Yeah, exactly. Just a fucking chubby, bald dude in a fucking fake leather jacket. This fucking dork. Oh, let me find this motherfucker. Let me run into this fucking guy. What the fuck?
Well,
the fucking criminal mindset, man. Go fuck you. Like, I would hate to think that that's who I was. Yeah, I fucking steal and I prey on people.
Yeah, there's some shitty folks out there, man.
God damn it. I was right there. I was 3 feet away. I was sitting on the couch when it happened.
Well,
fuck.
Sorry for your grits loss. Let's hope that the grits loss does not affect the dogs playing. Were they grits for today? Were they game day grits?
No, they were just, they were my everyday grits.
Oh, they were your everyday grits.
They were my utility grits. Motherfucker! God, that fucking pisses me off.
Yeah, that's the, that's just, that's a little bitch move for sure.
Ah, you little fucking piece of shit.
Bitch move, fucking dog.
Petty criminals.
Bitch move. All right, Playboy, I'm going to let you get to this game.
I had a topic prepared, but we got long-winded. That's all right. I was going to tell you about haunted places in Georgia, but we'll get to that.
We'll talk about it next week. We're back on now, 2022.
Back on.
No hope for the future. That's it. Boogie Monster Doomsday Podcast.
What do you got shows-wise? What do we got?
What do we got? Let's say, oh shit! This Wednesday, I added a show in Fort Collins. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, it'll be tomorrow night. Added a show in Fort Collins. Two of them on Thursday are sold out. Boulder sold out Friday, nice. And then Heavy Metal Cruise, baby. Heavy Metal Cruise time coming up. That'll be next week, though.
I do wish I was going to that. It sounds fun. I'm not going to say I'm a fan because I haven't listened to them in years, but there's two bands on there that I would definitely be watching their show, Seven Dust and Lamb of God. That sounds
Seven
fun.
Dust. What was their hit?
Oh, they never had any hits, but they're still going. I used to see Seven Dust back when they were called Crawl Space back in 95, 96 in Atlanta at the Somber Reptile. I would go see Crawl Space.
Reptile?
The Somber Reptile was the only like metal punk club that would let underage kids in. Ugh. And I would go see Crawl Space all the time. Big fan of Seven Dust. And I knew some of those guys. Their bass player at the time, or was it their guitar player was the brother of the bass player of Stuck Mojo, who I tour managed. So there was a connection there. But yeah, I would like to see them, see what they're up to.
Well, I'll check in with them for you.
Do that, man. Check out Lamb of God. Those guys are... I was into their first couple albums. I don't know what they've been up to lately, but yeah, that sounds fun.
I don't know. I've heard their stuff, so...
We haven't done Comic of the Week in a while, and I got a good one here. I got a good one. A mutual friend. A buddy of both of ours, who I think is one of the best comics on the planet. I don't know who's funnier than Sean Patton. Who's funnier than Sean Patton? Find him.
I want to give whoever
that person is, I want to give him a pat on the back, because Sean Patton's one of my favorite goddamn comics, and he's a buddy of both of ours. Got a new album called King Scorpio. So, yeah, if you need some new Sean Patton, there you go. King Scorpio dropped a couple weeks ago. Christmas Eve. It's available now on any streaming platform. Yeah, check out Sean Patton, King Scorpio, Comic of the Week.
Shawnee P, baby.
I love Sean. I'm glad there are people like Sean on this planet.
God damn. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
God damn it. Sean's like, seriously, like, I know we talk.
And it's also, it's a very much an in the room show, too. Like, you go see him live.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man, go see him live.
But I'm serious, like top shelf. You're not going to find many people better at stand-up comedy than Sean Patton. So if you're looking for something new to get into, check out Sean Patton, King Scorpio. I haven't listened to it myself, but I don't need to. I know it's fucking great. Sean's the man.
He already know it's good. Soon. I was there for it.
I already know it's good.
It was recorded here.
Oh, you were there at the recording?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Yeah, it says here, Helium Comedy Records. So I didn't know Helium had a little record label. Good job.
Hell yeah. All right, buddy.
Anything else going on? You been watching anything on television?
I ain't doing shit, man. I'm watching 90 Day Fiancé. I'm not doing shit, dude.
90 Day Fiancé.
I've been out, man. We went on a hike. I was trying to do, we did some daytime stuff. We got robot Burmese food. And I'm just getting ready to get back out there and do shows, man.
Oh, man.
I'm on Good the job. Move now. Back out working.
What's the next show? You may have just said that, but I'm
did
drunk.
Just say it, and it's Fort Collins tomorrow night.
Fort Collins. Okay. At the Comedy Fort?
Comedy Fort, Fort Collins. Yes, sir.
David Rodriguez, right on. I've been meaning to holler at him. I need to get a date there.
Oh, yeah, old D-Rods. It's a great club.
Right on, buddy.
I almost said good club. Let me backtrack. Great club. Old Sammy T lives down the street. He's opening Wednesday. I'm not sure who's there Thursday. And well, Andrew Overdahl is going to open for me Friday in Boulder. So,
Andrew Overdahl.
It'd be good to see him.
Underrated comedic actor. I feel weird saying this because I loved your performance in Those Who Can't, but I think Andrew stole the show.
Absolutely.
What a character.
Everybody was awesome on it. And how they all, like, picked out, like they all, the Grolix dudes already are have their own distinct personalities and then just amplified them more within the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the goofy idiot. Andrew played the goofy idiot so well.
Oh,
like his
he
character
did.
Was
oh,
just
he
so
sure did.
Out to lunch. Right on. Well, good, buddy. We'll have fun with that. And yeah, man, I'm go dogs. Go dogs.
For
baby.
Me and all
I'm
the all
excited.
The listeners. Go dogs. Mm-hmm. That is what we are saying.
Baby. It's our time.
We're
it's
rooting,
our time.
We're
fuck,
rooting,
fuck Bama.
We're rooting for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Fuck Bama.
I appreciate it.
Fuck
Bama.
Bama. Unless they start winning, in which case, roll tide.
Then, man.
That's just how that's how I party. You know.
That's how you do it.
Listen,
I understand.
I'm gonna be enjoying a champion. I enjoy a championship every year for every game, Dave. That's how my fandom works. Who
well,
won?
Guess what? You about
Good
to be a
them.
Big you about to be a big Bulldog fan, Kyle, because we got this. We got this tonight. Positive vibes. We got it.
Positive vibes. I'm throwing positive vibes right now.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Stay cute.
All right. Be good.
The Boogie Monster.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Lunch at a restaurant and they give you dessert on the house? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins the average £25,000 daily jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Be gambleaware.org.